You're listening to 3 and 30 Takeaways for Moms, episode 197, How to Advocate for Your Child in School. Welcome to 3 and 30, a podcast for moms who want to create more meaning in motherhood. Each 30-minute episode will feature three doable takeaways for you to try at home with your family this week. I'm your host, Rachel Nielsen. Thank you so much for being here. The topic of today's episode is meaningful anytime, but I feel like it's especially meaningful right now because it's back to school season right now in the United States. This episode originally aired in 2018, and it's a listener favorite that I knew I needed to bring back for this August month of Encore episodes, which I hope you've enjoyed. Next week, September 6th, we will be starting back up with new episodes of 3 and 30, and it's a topic that many of you have been asking for a long time, parenting children with ADHD. I can't wait to jump back into new episodes, and thank you for supporting me as I took a little break so I could enjoy the final weeks of summer with my family. By way of background on today's episode, a few years ago, I got an email from a listener that really struck me, and I knew right away that I wanted to invite her to be a guest on the show to talk more about it. This is what that email said. At some point, all of our children need us to be their voice. We need to help them be understood and successful in situations where the regularly scheduled program is just not a good fit. This is very true for children with special needs, but it's also true for every child who finds themselves in a tricky situation. How do we find the balance between helping our children be successful and letting them do hard things? How do we speak to teachers, coaches, leaders, and peers in a way that opens hearts and opportunities? How do we navigate a situation when we feel our children are not safe? How do we help our children to find their own voice and, when possible, learn to advocate for themselves? End quote. Today, we are going to hear from the wise woman who sent me that email, Emily Orchard, a speech-language pathologist and a mom of four from Boise, Idaho. I can't wait for you to learn from her about how we can advocate for our children and teach them how to advocate for themselves. First, I have three quick announcements for you. Have you signed up for my new free mini course yet? This week-long email course was designed to help you find your unique magic in motherhood, and it has been thrilling to see hundreds of you sign up to participate in the past month. If you haven't heard about it yet, let me tell you a bit more about it. I send you one tool each day via email to help you rekindle your love of motherhood. These tools can be used in even the very hardest seasons of motherhood to help you recapture your joy. Each lesson takes about 5 minutes to read and includes a few reflection questions or a worksheet to help you actually apply what you've learned each day. One mother named Cindy, who took the course, emailed me some feedback and said, "It was just perfect, just the right amount of info and homework that made it doable for me. I truly believe in the power of journaling, but I am not good at it. But these little prompts in the mini course were so doable, I was even able to do it with my kids starting school tomorrow. Thank you so much. I just love your podcast. It's my favorite mommy show." Thank you so much, Cindy, for that feedback. It seriously means so much, and I hope that everyone listening will sign up to give this course a try. You can sign up at 3and30podcast.com/learn, and I will, of course, put a link in the show notes. My second announcement is for a sponsor who is new to our podcast, Learning with Kelsey, a subscription box for moms who want to teach their young children at home. For many families, as I mentioned, it's back to school season right now, but if you're a mom of littles, it's back to doing the same thing, getting through the days with our kiddos, doing our best to cherish moments with those sweet little ones, and let's be honest, trying not to lose our minds while the minutes sometimes tick by. That's why I was so excited to connect with Learning with Kelsey. This company aims to help moms feel confident teaching their children at home and preparing them for school. Kelsey is a certified teacher with 10-plus years of early childhood experience, as well as a mom of three of her own little children. Her monthly subscription boxes include all of the lesson plans, supplies, and activities you need for fun and effective learning at home. You can use these boxes as a full homeschool curriculum for preschool or kindergarten, or you can use them as supplemental support, supplemental learning, for children who need a little extra something for the days when they're off from school or activities. There are boxes for preschool, pre-K, kindergarten, and also just everyday crafting. You can go to learningwithkelsey.com to see which box is right for you and use the code 3in30 for half off your first month. That's learningwithkelsey.com and use the discount code 3in30. My third and final announcement is for our second sponsor this month, my favorite curated online marketplace, Jane.com. Over the past several months, I have had so much fun exploring Jane, which has over 400 new daily deals, many of the items from small female-owned shops that I am thrilled to support. They have such a wide variety of products for the whole family. I live in a tiny town in Idaho where there isn't much shopping. Our nearest mall and Target are 70 miles away. So I have been so excited to be able to use Jane to get high-quality clothes and home decor and back-to-school supplies with the click of a button on my computer and via their super convenient phone app. All of the deals on Jane only last for a limited time, which makes shopping a lot more fun because the inventory and options change often. So if you don't see what you're looking for one day, just come back the next. To see all of my favorite deals on Jane.com, you can visit the page that I curated just for our community by going to jane.com/3in30. That's jane.com/3in30. And now on to the show. This is How to Advocate for Your Child in School with Emily Orchard. Welcome, Emily.
Thank you, Rachel. I'm happy to be here.
I just want to give a little bit of your professional background. So you're a speech language pathologist. You spent the last 16 years working in schools, and then you're a mom of four kids.
Yeah, that's right. When I work, I just love helping children develop strong communication skills. And I feel like my own four kids have given me lots of humbling opportunities to work on my own communication skills.
Yes, I'm sure. And I'm sure lots of practice with all of the theoretical things that you learned in your profession. Now you get to practice with your own four.
Yes, that's right. And just in general, I am really passionate about advocating for children. So I'm excited you wanted to talk about this today.
Yeah, and I really loved what struck me about our emails back and forth was that you said you've been on both sides of the table, that you've been in the professional context, writing the IEPs or being in the meetings with teachers and parents and kids. But then you've also been a mom on the other side of the table, being in those meetings as the mother. So what would you say about that, kind of having experience in both of those roles?
Really, I think it's been a gift to be able to see both sides. I remember I had worked for definitely more than 10 years. The first time I went to my son's school to have a meeting where they'd kind of done some testing and we were going to talk about what would help him. And my only goal that day was to not cry because I knew as an educator and as a professional, it wasn't always helpful to be emotional in these meetings. But I didn't reach that goal that day. I cried. It's hard. It's really hard when we need to be a voice and we need to make sure that our kids are having the best possible experience. So really after that experience is when I think I made this topic a focus of what I do in work as well. I love working with parents and helping them problem solve how we can advocate.
So what does it mean to advocate?
I think when we advocate, we're really supporting a certain person or a cause. And when we are an advocate for someone, we speak out and we are their voice to those in authority. And we really want to promote positive change. And I think that's a big important part of being an advocate is you're focusing on the positive. You want to see positive change. You're not just a critic out there tearing things down, but you're trying to build a bridge. So I think that kind of brings me to my first takeaway.
Perfect.
So when we are advocating, it's really important for us to know our purpose, to have a real clear understanding of what our role is in this particular situation. And I always go through kind of my three M's, knowing my purpose as a mom, in the moment, or at this meeting. So being really specific, what is it that I need to say or what is it that I need to promote? What change am I looking for right now? As a mom, my purpose is to love, to teach, to really understand my child's strengths and their weaknesses, to believe in them and really help them face some hard things. I need to remember that my purpose is not to convince the world that I'm a great mom or let everyone know all the things that I'm doing or all of the things that my child needs. I can have a specific purpose to make them successful, you know, in that moment, to help them be successful in that moment.
Yeah. And I love that you pointed it out, that it's not our purpose for every person to think that we're great moms. That is a really tough one. And there was a recent episode on this podcast with Marilyn Faulkner where she talked about your child's actions are not about you. And when you make them about you, it really becomes, it's a selfish motivation. You're no longer really worrying about helping them to be better or teaching them. You're more concerned about what everybody else around you is thinking about you, and how we as parents have got to separate from that desire to be seen as perfect parents and instead just focus on helping our kids.
That's so true. I love that you mentioned that. I did love that podcast, actually. I listened to it. And yeah. I do think it's important to recognize the emotions that come up when our children aren't benefiting from that regular scheduled program, when we do maybe need to be a voice and help problem solve. There's a lot of emotions, and sometimes our own frustration and even embarrassment can be a part of it. Mm. But if we really remember what our purpose is, it can be helpful. I want to share a story that kind of first brought this into focus for me. One mm-hmm. of my sons was having trouble in his class at church. So that Sunday school hour, that primary part where he is with his peers and a teacher, the teacher started bringing him to me in my adult class every Sunday, saying he just can't handle it. He's not sitting still. He's a huge distraction. And this happens multiple Sundays in a row. And so I knew it was time. I just needed to really kind of help advocate to be his voice and help him have a better experience. And without really thinking through, I just dove into an emotional conversation with the teacher on a Sunday in the hallway. And I found myself really oversharing, just telling her a ton of information about what we were dealing with, about some decisions that we were trying to make for my son, about some testing we had done, about questions we had about whether or not that we were going to medicate and what all went into that important decision. And I realized when I looked into her eyes and she kind of had this glossy look, I was missing the moment. I didn't know my purpose with that particular teacher and what would be helpful right then. So I had to really pedal back and say, you know, give me some time this week. I'm going to think about this and then I'll come back to you. And I promise we'll find something that works. And I realized mm-hmm. that my purpose right then was to help my son have a positive experience on Sundays. I wanted him to be able to be part of his class, but also that teacher didn't have a lot of resources available to her and she needed to teach her lesson and help the other kids. So I decided to just go in with him for a few weeks and sit with him. And when he had something to say or somewhere to go, I was there to help him with that. I got to hear some of those teacher's lessons and she was absolutely amazing. Loved her. She was doing such a great job. And through that process, I was able to kind of identify what would help him in that situation. And then we were able to problem solve that together. It ended up being a great experience, but I can always remember what it felt like standing in that hallway, just kind of sharing all of this, all these things that she just didn't need to know. And so now
dumping all the emotions.
Yes, yes. And so now first, when I feel like there's a situation where I need to advocate for my child, I stop and recognize, okay, what is my purpose right now? What is my goal for my child? How can I make that happen?
And how would you do this in a more formal setting, like a meeting at the school? And I did mention IEP earlier, and I realize not everybody is going to know what that means. So IEP is an individualized education plan. And I was a teacher, and so I was in a lot of these meetings too. And they can be pretty tense. So there's a number of teachers, professionals in the room, and then the mom or the parents. And so how do you handle a situation like that as a parent where you may feel a bit outnumbered and you're trying to advocate for your child?
Yeah, absolutely. You can feel outnumbered. And, you know, really, the laws require a certain amount of people to be in that room. They all have a purpose and they're all there as a team to make sure that every student is having the best possible experience. But as a parent, when you walk in there, it can kind of feel like you versus them. It can be really overwhelming. And just like you just explained what IEP stands for, there's a lot of different acronyms and vocabulary that not all the parents understand. And so I think in order to understand your purpose in the meeting, it's great when the meeting's scheduled to just be really clear. What is the topic for this meeting? What are we meeting for? What are we going to talk about? So as a parent, you can kind of prepare and you can determine what you think would be important to share about your child. And then you'll know ahead of time, are we going to be writing goals? Are we going to just be reviewing testing? And then when you're at the meeting, to remember that you don't have to make any decisions right there on the spot. Sometimes a lot of information is shared and it's okay to say, give me some time to think this through, or I'm going to go home and read through this again. And don't ever feel in the moment like you have to sign anything or make final decisions. It can definitely be a process.
I love that, especially because I think it can feel like you do have to in the moment, that these people are an authority and you need to do what they want, which it isn't me versus them. It is more collaborative and you can say, I'm not ready to make the decision yet. I need some time. That is a great tip.
Yeah. And also just remembering that instead of us versus them, you've got a room full of really great people that want the best for your student. And I think when we go into a meeting recognizing that, it really helps us focus on our purpose and have a positive outcome.
Yeah. And I think that leads really well into your second takeaway. So can you introduce that to us?
Yeah. When we've established our purpose and we know what would be helpful, I want to lead with love. My second takeaway, I think, really reminds us not to act out of fear or anger, which is easy to do. You know, sometimes our first question is my child okay in this situation? Or is there a person or a situation that's hurting my child? But when we lead with love, we can be kind and we can also be firm. I truly believe in all the years that I've worked with kids, that 99% of people who work with children have good intentions and are really doing their best. And when we come from a place of love and support, they can feel it. But I also know that sometimes we don't have a relationship going in with the coach or the teacher or the peer that we feel like we need to advocate with. So if we just lead out with love for our own child and say, I'm in a place of love for my child, that can remind us to not go straight to that knee-jerk reaction of being that mama bear.
Yes. And I think just going in assuming the best of people first, and then that may not be true, but start out assuming the best, assuming that maybe there was a misunderstanding if there's some situation that has arisen and that it can be sorted out in a kind way that everybody feels good about.
Yes. I have an example that I saw at work, a wonderful mom that I worked with, and her child had been mistreated by a teacher's assistant. And of all the experiences I've seen, I think this is one that might fall into that 1% where it just wasn't a good situation. It would have been easy for this mom to run into that school in anger and yell and scream at every single person that worked there. But she didn't. She led with love. She called a meeting with the principal and she started out by saying, I appreciate all the good things that have happened. Here's something that happened. This person will not work with my child again. I don't think they should work with any other children. The principal agreed, and that mom was able to go on, and her son had a really positive experience at that school. If the principal hadn't have agreed, that mom would have not backed down. She would have lovingly ensured that her son didn't have to work with that particular teacher's assistant. And maybe that would have looked like putting him in a different school. But when she led with love, I just was so impressed that her son was able to continue to grow and develop, and all the wonderful things that were going on could still happen. Sometimes when we lead with fear or anger, we really end up throwing out a lot of wonderful things that are going on too.
Absolutely. I've definitely seen that to be true.
I have an example as a mom as well.
Yeah,
when
great.
I needed to remember to lead with love, I had a middle schooler who had asked to watch this show that is just not appropriate for kids to watch. And I had said really clearly, you know, we don't watch that show. And this kid came home so excited. Guess what, mom? My advisory teacher is showing us clips of this show in class and I get to see it. And it's so funny. So of course, my reaction, I was so angry at first. I was so mad. And I really thought, this is so inappropriate. I'm going to email the principal right away. I can't understand how the teacher would do this. But I decided to wait a minute and make sure that I was leading with love. So I contacted the teacher directly, which I think is a part of leading with love. If at all possible, when we can go to the source first and really try to solve it there, I think it's usually well received. So I emailed the teacher and said, you know, my child loves your class. I know there's a lot of good going on there, but he said you're showing clips from the show. And here are the reasons why that show is not appropriate. And the teacher was great. You know, she apologized. She said that she was only showing small clips, but after I pointed out kind of my thoughts, she recognized that it wasn't appropriate. She had taught high school in the past, and she really hadn't considered the implications for younger children. But she said, you know, thanks. I'm not going to use that as part of my class anymore. And then my son went on to really enjoy her as a teacher. And I'm so glad that I didn't get in the way of having great things happen there.
Yeah, what a great story. And I think that is so true about going to the source instead of going to some higher up. That is a huge positive thing to show respect and lead with love with different people in our lives versus trying to get them in trouble in some way.
Yes. I had an example just last week. I knew we were going to record this podcast. And like I said, I've been passionate about positive advocating. But I went to pick up my daughter and there had been a change in her coaching staff and I didn't know about it. And at this point, when I went to pick her up, I was tired. I was hungry. I was emotional about something else. And I started to kind of dive in. And then I realized, okay, leading with love is not in the cards for me right now. I need to come back to this. And then when I did, I realized that although there had been a change, there were still a lot of good things happening and everything was going to be just fine.
Oh, so good. So good that you could stop yourself and notice that you weren't in the best space yourself to have self-control at that moment. So you're like, let's revisit this when I'm rested and I've had food to eat and I'm in a good state of mind. That is a great tip right there.
Yes. And sometimes I don't catch myself soon enough. Sometimes we won't. Sometimes we'll have one of those experiences where we kind of hear these words coming out of our mouth and we see the face of the person we're talking to and we realize this isn't going well. And I think it's okay to say, listen, we're having an important conversation here, but I just am going to come back to it. I'll get back to you. I'm sorry. This isn't going well. And I think everyone understands.
And I think it's also totally okay to follow up if you have a negative interaction with someone and apologize and say, I'm really sorry that I handled it that way. And that was disrespectful that I talked to you that way. Can we try again? You know, and just be human.
Yes, so much of advocating and promoting positive change is building those relationships. And it's having not just one discussion, but opening the door to having more interactions.
Yeah.
My third takeaway, I think, is something that doesn't always come naturally that I've had to work at, but is so important. And that is to have a growth mindset.
Mm-hmm. And can you explain what that means? I feel like people are familiar with that term, but maybe not everyone. So explain what a growth mindset is.
So when we have a growth mindset, we recognize that we're on a continuum from I am not able to do something right now, but I'm working on it. I am growing. And it really helps us stay away from black and white thinking of I can't do this.
Right.
I really appreciate, I've seen a lot in the schools, my children's schools, a lot of growth mindset. So when they go to the teacher saying, I can't do this problem, they're really working on changing the verbiage there to, I'm trying this. Would you be able to help me? Or I'm still working on this. Mm. And growth mindset is so important for us as adults too. We don't have it all figured out yet.
Right. And it's so empowering to think not that I can't do that ever, but that I'm still trying, I'm working on it. There's room for me to improve.
Yes. Now this comes into play in so many ways. The first way is having a growth mindset about our own children. And even though right now we recognize strengths and weaknesses, and we know maybe some things that could help them be successful, recognize that those things will grow and change as they develop. And having a growth mindset when we talk about our children. So instead of saying to the teacher, my child can't make friends, we can say, my child is still developing his social skills. He'd really benefit from a safe, predictable place that he can go during recess, because this unstructured time is really hard for him right now. Mm. Instead of saying, you know, my child can't complete this assignment, we can say, my child's still learning how these problems work. She'll need some extra time and support before we can turn it in. Mm. And this is really important if we ever find ourselves advocating when our child is there. We need to recognize that even very young children pick up on some of those nonverbal cues. Even if we think that they don't understand everything we're saying, they can really sense what we're trying to communicate. And if so, if they're right there next to us and we're having a conversation with their teacher and saying, they can't do this, they can't do this, they're going to pick up on that. Mm. And really one of the things that I work with parents is to help them recognize that when our children are young and they're not quite ready to be part of the process, we need to be really careful and oftentimes not talk at all in front of them until they kind of start to have an understanding of what it looks like to grow and develop.
Yeah, I love that. I feel like it goes back to another principle that's been mentioned on this podcast before, but to speak words of faith, not of fact. That even just labeling a child in a certain way, even if it is kind of a fact, but that will reinforce that for them. And so they will continue to carry that role. But if you speak words of faith instead, then they'll start to believe that role. You know, even like little silly things like, I used to pick up my daughter from preschool and sometimes she would have fallen asleep during their little rest time and she would be super grumpy. And so I would go in and get her and I'd say, oh, like she always wakes up grumpy from a nap, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And her preschool teacher, who is like the sweetest, kindest Waldorf preschool teacher, pulled me aside and she said, try saying, I'm so glad that you got rest. Now you're going to be, you know, you'll have energy for the rest of the day and you'll be cheerful. And I was like, wow, like what a small shift, but it does make a difference in what they think of like, okay, from here on out forever, I'm always going to wake up grumpy from a nap, or to have this different mindset of this nap rejuvenated me and I can choose to be happy and cheerful now. And I was grateful that that preschool teacher gave me that little tip about my words, the power of my words.
Yes, I love that. And in the meantime, if you know right now that your child does have a hard time after they wake up for their nap, you know, you might advocate for them by making sure that they have morning kindergarten instead of afternoon kindergarten, if possible. But mm-hmm. in the meantime, while you're helping their schedule be successful for them, you can say those things. I love that you can speak those words of faith. We yeah. can also speak positive words when we're talking about other people that our children are working with. We can have a growth mindset about their teachers and their classes, their coaches and their teams. We can say, instead of saying, yeah, that teacher's mean, we can say, hey, I'm working together with your teacher to make sure that you're getting great help at school. And if you do ever decide that there needs to be a change, you can say things like, you know, that particular class or teacher wasn't a good fit, but we're going to find one that is and move forward in a positive way.
I love that because it is so easy as a parent to get so emotionally invested and you may be thinking to yourself, that coach is a total jerk, you know, or whatever. But yes, to hold it in, to change the words that you're saying to your child and model for them what respectful advocacy looks like. And that does in turn make it more true for you as well. The more that you say that coach is a jerk, the more you believe that. So if you can start seeing it a different way, it's also helpful for you.
Yes. And having a growth mindset doesn't mean that we don't have to have boundaries. You know, if we're talking about coaches, my children know that if they're not getting the playing time that they think they should have, or things aren't being set up for practice the way that they would like, we can have a growth mindset about those type of things. But especially when they were younger, if there was a coach that started swearing during practice or games, I mean, that was a boundary for me. Mm-hmm. That was something where they knew that crossed the line. But for almost all situations, we can have a growth mindset. I actually have a funny experience as a mom. I have a child with a peanut allergy. And when he was in elementary school, there was a peanut-free table at lunch where kids that have this allergy could go and know that no one would pull out a peanut butter jelly sandwich. And it was such a comfort to me, especially when he was in first grade. And for all I knew, he was going to, you know, eat something out of someone else's lunch. And so I felt like that was the best place for him to be. Well, some time had gone by. He was a little older, and he told me this story after school. Hey, mom, some kid pulled out a Reese's peanut butter cup at the peanut-free table today. And I said, what? You know, what'd you do? And he goes, well, mom, I know that I can't eat those things, of course. And so, of course, my first reaction in this situation was, you know, what's going on at this table? We need to make sure that it's safe. But having a growth mindset, I recognized my child is older now. He doesn't need to be at that table. Now, his allergy isn't as severe as some. You know, he wasn't going to react if he just accidentally touched something. And some kids do. So for my son at that point, he'd grown up. He recognized what he couldn't eat. He wasn't at risk. He didn't need to be at that table. And right. So having a growth mindset, I think, can help us recognize when our children have kind of moved on and they maybe don't need some of the support that we'd been giving them.
Mm-hmm. And he was in a way advocating for himself. I mean, he didn't speak up to that kid and say, leave the peanut-free table, but he didn't have to because he knew his own limits and boundaries. And yes. Yeah, so he was growing into advocacy.
Absolutely. And you know, I really, rule of thumb kind of think double digits. Once my kids turn 10, I mean, that's not the hard fast, but when they approach that age, I'm definitely having conversations with them about strengths and weaknesses and about things that they could do or say that would help them be their best self in every situation. Mm-hmm. And as they get older of that double digits, they have more and more opportunity to be their own voice. Now, I know that there's a lot of kids that have more severe needs. I work with a lot of them, and communication will be a lifelong process. But any time that we can help a child be their own positive voice, it's so wonderful to see their confidence grow and our ability to step away from being the sage on the stage and move to the guide on the side is so rewarding as a parent.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Well, thank you. This conversation has been so insightful from having both the professional and the personal background and experience. I did also want to mention that when we went back and forth about whether or not you would come on as a guest, you said that I shouldn't ask where can we find you, because I usually ask my guests that at the end, meaning like, what's your website, or if people want more of you, where can they find you? And you said, don't ask me that question. Do you remember what you said your answer would be if I said, where can I find you?
Yeah, I don't have an amazing online presence. So if anyone wants to find me, it's in my dirty minivan driving to soccer practice or staying up late writing IEP goals, right? Nowhere exciting. I'm just a mom that feels like this is important.
You know, I absolutely love that. And I love that about this podcast is that we've had people with big platforms, and then we have moms who are in the trenches who are just as important and have just as much amazing information to share, and that every mom kind of has their own 3 in 30. They're things that they're experts at that they can share with us. And that has been kind of the magic of doing this podcast, is realizing that we all have our takeaways that we can share with other people.
It is so fun. I do love that. So, Rachel, thanks for providing a platform where we can do this.
Well, thank you for listening, and thanks for emailing me and for coming on and sharing this important information about advocacy. I know it's going to help a lot of parents as they go into this new school year, especially. I loved that interview with Emily. I love the moms who listen to this show. It is a caliber of women that are so smart and committed to their families. Here's a recap of Emily's takeaways to help you advocate for your kids in school. First, know your purpose in the moment, as a mom, and in the meeting. Stay focused on your purpose so you don't overwhelm yourself or anyone else in the meeting with information and emotions. Second, lead with love. Assume the best of the people you're working with in order to help your child, and start your advocacy by reaching out for understanding and partnership. And third, use a growth mindset in the way that you advocate and talk about your children. Use phrases like, he is still learning how to navigate unstructured situations with peers, instead of saying, he can't, or he never, or he doesn't. This was such a compelling conversation, and I am so grateful for it, especially as I am navigating some new school situations with my children this year. You're going to hear more about this in next week's episode, but one of my children is in the process of being tested for ADHD, and I'm having to advocate for this child with doctors and teachers, and it's all new to me, so I'm learning this stuff right along with you. I wanted to point you to one more episode of the show that I think could be helpful for you if you're interested in this topic, and that's episode 147 with Dr. Tracy Baxley, Teaching Children How to Advocate for Themselves. This is such a great conversation with an outstanding educator, and I will link it in the show notes. Thank you so much for all of the work that you do every single day to advocate and care for your children, and I hope you have a great week with your family.
Hi, I'm Desiree Endres, and I'm the host of your new favorite podcast, Minimalish. Minimalish is a podcast about making room for what matters in your life by living with less of what doesn't matter and more of what does, and pursuing intention in every area of our everyday lives. We talk about a realistic version of minimalism that fits your family. We talk about motherhood, family life, work, decluttering, intentional finances, and everything in between. Listen to Minimalish on the iHeart app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.